Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome Jeffrey Owens into the Cigar Lounge. Jeffrey, how are you today?
I am doing very well.
Good. So glad to have you here. If you would, can I start off just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do that makes you special.
Well, that's a great question. Do we get to put it into categories?
Whatever you want to do. This is all about you.
All right. Well, what I do is a little bit different from, I think, many people because of my background. And that will help. I think talking about my background will help.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
What I do.
Will get to that.
But I work with, I like to say, I work with leaders, teams, and organizations to help them to improve communication, reduce conflict, increase employee engagement, retention, and improve leadership capabilities.
Okay. And in preparing to do that, talk to us a little bit about what brought you to where you are today. What is your training and background that got us to where we are?
You know, I grew up here in Hawaii. Many people maybe not know I'm right now in Hawaii. So, you know, kind of long. That's why it sounds like my voice is very faint. I'm far, far away. No, I grew up in Hawaii and I joined the Honolulu Police Department way back in 1970. In the 80s, I was a detective and I was selected to be a founding member of the Hostage Crisis Negotiation Unit. It was the first one in Hawaii and one of the first in the nation. And from that, I gained an in-depth understanding of not only communication skills, but people and what motivates people to do or not do things and why they would do some of the things that they do or why they wouldn't do it. So that became a passion of mine to try to understand the why that drove the what and the how of people's behaviors. So moving forward in time, I started to go up in rank and I found that a lot of the same concepts that I worked to make me an effective negotiator also make me be a better leader. So I continued up in the organization within the police department. When I finally retired, I was a division commander. I was a major on the command staff. So during that period of time, during my career, I was the guy that whenever they said, hey, we need somebody to go out and give a community presentation and everybody else was pretending they're not in the room. And I'm going, me, pick me, you know, which because I love getting out in front of audiences and talking to them. So that just kind of grew and grew until I started getting phone calls from people saying, hey, we got a situation. We're wondering, could you come and talk to us? And I'm sure I'll come and talk to you. And I started talking on what, at the time, the term workplace violence was really not even a real term yet. It was just being developed. But I was dealing with workplace violence, prevention, intervention, response. And then I started realizing all these issues that contribute to it. Leadership skill. Poor leadership can increase the stresses that cause people to act out in a wrong way. Poor communication, which can cause those same kinds of stresses, lack of good organizational structure and effectiveness. So I started developing all these programs. And as I was getting close to my time to retire from the police department, not only was I getting calls from people, they're saying, well, what do you charge? And I was like, oh, wait, you mean you can actually get paid for doing this?
Awesome.
I mean, I literally would just go out and do this. I had no idea.
Eye-opening moment, right?
Yeah, it was like, wow, you can this. You know. So when I retired, I started my business, Transcend Inc.
Let me interrupt you just
ahead,
for a moment.
Go ahead.
For perspective, how many years did you serve in law enforcement?
About 30.
So you had a full career before you had this aha moment.
Yep.
And you made it through every level and rank until you finally said, I'm done.
Yeah. You know, what happened is after about 30 years, I realized I just couldn't adjust to the lifestyle.
Got it.
I'm a slow learner.
Well, no, and that's what I was going to ask. What is it? Other than the idea that you had an opportunity to speak, What was the factor that hit you and said, it's time to change my life at my later age?
Well, a couple of factors, really, in all seriousness. One is with the Honolulu Police Department, in those days, they've changed it. We had a really good retirement plan, quite seriously. And you could retire with your full retirement benefits at 25 years. And you would add in some things like, you know, sick leave and all that, and it would accumulate up to the equivalent of a 30 year. So I was one of these guys, I never took sick leave or anything else. So at the 30 year mark, I went ahead and went, you know what, I'm into full retirement. Plus I get an extra two on top. It's been a really great career. I truly did love what I did. Yeah, it was just, I tell people I never went to work. I went to a paying hobby.
And anyone that knows you know how much you loved it.
I did.
That is clear. Yes. So let me ask you, as you went through that, and I want to come back to how you started your business, but we'll get back to that. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. As you went through those 30 years, who was your biggest supporter, mentor, or role model over the course of your career? Who most influenced you?
There was a person who retired as a lieutenant named Joe Acau.
Okay.
And Joe Acau, in my eyes, is probably the best leader I have ever worked for. He epitomized everything good about leadership. You know,
let me ask you to do this. Go ahead. Name three of the things that he did that you believe every leader should do?
It's a great question. So, well, first off, he was completely transparent and honest. You know, I don't know if that counts as one or two, but that counts. And we'll say he was completely transparent and honest. If you were doing things right, he definitely let you know you were doing things right. If you were doing things wrong, he most definitely let you know that you were doing things wrong. But he would do it in a way that respected your dignity. So that's another thing that I think all leaders need to understand. You need to respect the dignity of those people that you are responsible for. That's really what leadership is about, is being responsible for people. So he was transparent. He was honest. He respected our dignities.
Okay. So mm-hmm. now we're going to use transparent and honest as two, because you can't think of a third.
You know,
I'm just messing
with you. No, actually, but I'll throw in a fourth then. We'll
there
do that.
We go. Let's do that. Yeah, I want to push you. I want one more.
Okay, I'll give you one more. And that is, you know, if you get right down to it, you know, leadership is simply the ability to cause other people to follow, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I put a gun to your head, I will be a leader, because you'll go where I tell you to go, right? But he was a leader that inspired a true, sincere desire to want to follow him. He had a charisma about him that made all of us that worked for him want to follow him. We wanted to, might sound corny, we wanted to please him, because he was a great leader. While he was in the superior rank and position and in the leadership role, at the same time, you know, I go full circle. He respected our dignity and treated us, I don't want to say as equals, because we definitely knew there was a definite difference in our standings and rank, but not because it was lorded over us, but because he was the leader we wanted to follow.
And it sounds like he understood that he could not forget where he once was.
Oh, yeah. He never forgot. And that's something I'm kind of proud to say I learned from him. I never forgot where we came from. What it was like to be the street cop, what it was like to walk the beat or drive the car or deal with the drunks and the brawlers, you know, never forgot it.
Well, and as a leader throughout your time, how many years were you actually in command positions in law enforcement?
Let's see. Well, the rank structure, you go from, you know, patrol officer up to being a sergeant, you know, and that's kind of your entry level, right? Almost like the military, you're a supervisory level type of a person. And that occurred around 83 or so, something like that. And then I continued on, you know, up in rank to lieutenant and captain and major. So let's say that was, if I retired in 2002 and the 90 would be 12, 15, we'll call it 15 years, just rounding numbers out.
That's advanced math with Jeff Owens here on the Cigar Lounge. Hey,
my wife says I shouldn't admit this, but it's an actual true statement. I got a sympathy D minus in eighth grade remedial math when I was in the ninth grade.
Well, you did math pretty good there. You even rounded up well. You should get that grade fixed. Jeff, let me say, through all those years in leadership, what would you say was an example of a mistake or failure that you experienced, and what did you learn from it?
I'll use myself as the bad example.
That's perfect.
Yeah. The biggest mistake I made was to speak badly about another leader that I did not agree with in the presence of subordinates. I de-edified that other leader. And what that did was gave the subordinates permission to de-edify me.
Got it. Exactly.
And then I learned from that. Even if you have a disagreement, even if you do not like the other person, do not disrespect that person in the presence of the of others.
That's beautiful, because I think we all know that we have seen that happen too many times, mm-hmm. and it ends badly.
One of the things that I sometimes tell in some of my presentations, I use a little, you know, thing that says, it's okay to dislike. And it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to disrespect.
Bingo. I love that. And I think that anyone that has dealt with law enforcement knows that respect and loyalty are two of the most important things. And that's phenomenal. I'm going to transition you by asking two questions that are the same. If you were starting off all over in your law enforcement career, where someone comes to you and says, I want to start in law enforcement, what single piece of advice can you think of that you could give them that would make them better from the word go? Or what advice would you wish you had known to make you better from the word go?
That's a really good question, and I need to kind of ponder it a little bit. I think the advice I would give is kind of tied into what I just was talking about.
Yeah,
you know, remember that as a cop, as a police officer out there, those are people.
Yep.
Regardless of their social or economic status, regardless of whether you perceive them to be law-abiding or to be criminal in nature, they are still people, human beings, entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. Your job is to be a keeper of the peace. Your job is to be an enforcer of the laws. But you can do it without losing your vision, I might say, of people's humanity. I'll use another one of the little things that was said to me when I was a young cop that actually is specific to what you just asked. And it's one of those things I'm glad I never forgot it. I think it helped me to be a good hostage negotiator. It helped me to be a good leader. And it relates to the law enforcement. And what was said was, law enforcement without compassion is tyranny. And so I kind of like, you know, you can expand that out from even law enforcement. You know,
yep.
Whenever you have influence over anyone, understand compassion's important. Good people make bad decisions. It's not my place to judge them as to whether they're a good, bad person.
With great power comes great responsibility. Uncle Ben
Absolutely. Said
that to Spider-Man. He meant it. let me say this now as we transition, and I want to talk about your speaking business, but let's start off by asking that same question. That's the same, what I said, there's two questions coming here, they're the same. Mm-hmm. What advice do you wish someone gave you when you started your speaking business that you now know?
Study other successful speakers. You know, living in Hawaii, we don't have an NSA chapter. We didn't really have much, you know, to relate to. I wasn't connected with anybody or anything. It's one of those didn't know what I didn't know to some extent. But in hindsight, I wish I had taken the time back then to start studying other speakers.
Okay. That's fair and awesome. Now, let's say, so now you've retired from law enforcement and you know that you've got chops because you've been out there doing all these appearances. Tell us how your business started from there. What did you do?
Well, clarify that question a little for me. What do you mean?
When you retired, you decided you were going to start a speaking mm-hmm. career, a business, consulting, mm-hmm. whatever we call it. How did you get started? Tell me about the transition.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So, you know, luckily, because I was always volunteering to be the speaker when I was in the department, I had quite a number of contacts in the community. And my name was known primarily among human resource professionals, because it's funny, people think, oh, it must be the security that always brought you in. Very rarely was it ever security. It was almost always human resource professionals that brought me in, because they have the concerns. Because at that time, I got to kind of mix it up here. When I started, my focus was on workplace violence, prevention, intervention, response. That was my, you know, my anchor topic that I was going to be talking on, because that whole thing was starting to get more and more, you know, the idea of, you know, the disgruntled postal worker, you know, kind of thing that was going on at that time. So I was known as the expert in that field. And so I started just contacting people and saying, look, I'm now retired. I'm starting it up as a training consulting business. You know, if you need my services, here I am. And so that started to grow. And then as I started to mention earlier on, you know, I started to sit back and go, well, wait a minute, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are factors that contribute to the existence of workplace violence. And if I can start separating out some of those factors, we can identify them and we can train on those too. And that's where I started to develop, you know, presentations on leadership skills and tying that into effective communication skills, and then creating the respectful workplace environment, which is still a primary focus of me, what I do right now, helping create organizational cultures of respect, because people don't hurt people that treat them with respect. They don't engage in acts of violence, right? People don't engage in sexual harassment when they respect the other person. You know, the issues that we have now, people about discrimination. Well, discrimination is a form of disrespect because a person is not like me or my group, right? So I started developing more and more topics, although all the genesis point really was the workplace violence. And the core of the workplace violence training was create the organizational culture of respect. And that's how it grew out from there.
So respect is a key factor in everything you do.
It's at the heart.
That has come up a lot today, and that's good. That's good to know. Let me ask you this. As you started your business and you started speaking, we all learn. And we all know that every business has what I call myths, beliefs that we go into it and find out it's not true. What kind of myths have you experienced that you had when you went into the speaking business and you found out, oh my God, that's not the way it is?
That your clients will come to you, that they will seek you out because you are known and they will be happy to pay you any amount of money you ask so that you will stand on their stage and talk to them. That's a myth.
And you mean that's not true?
No, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not upsetting people here.
I think people are looking for the silver bullet, man. People want that magic. Well, and with that said, okay, so recognizing that it's not true, that people will flock to you, Let me ask you this. What is it that gets you up every morning and makes you want to do what you do?
You mean aside from needing to pay off the Visa Card Corporation?
come on. You can be selling Lay's on the beach and making pork at a luau.
That's true.
Really, you're doing this because there's something that drives you. What is that?
I think there's two things primarily. Okay, one is, as I mentioned already, I've always been the ham. I like standing in front of people and babbling in a way that makes them listen to me. And I get a real pleasure from that. I truly enjoy what I do. It's the paying hobby. The other thing is that all of my topics and are focused on that idea of respect. And I feel that I'm contributing, at least in some way, to making people's lives better. It's kind of that, the service concept of being a cop has continued on. And I don't stand on the stage just to babble, just to put out a canned presentation. It really means something to me to be able to say, when I got off that stage, they left with information that will help them in some way. And so that sense of service, that sense of helping, that sense of making things better, that is really a primary driver.
And that, I want to say, causes me to want to ask another question, which is, when people, I'm going to sound more fatalistic in this question. I'm just going to generally say, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want people to remember you for? And I'll let you answer that in two ways. One is in the business world, and one is in your personal life. We'll separate the two if there is a separation.
Actually, I think they're both the same.
Okay.
I would simply like people to say, he was a good man.
Awesome. And that's good enough. Mm-hmm. I just thought I had to ask. So let me say this. I'm going to imagine for a moment, I don't know how you work because I didn't ask you these questions, but I don't know if you use a whiteboard or an idea board, or you just have everything jotted in your notebook, or it's all stuck in your head. But if you would, what one project is on that imaginary whiteboard or on the real whiteboard that you cannot wait to get started working on?
You know, everything is actually in my head. I've never been good at, writing notes or creating those outlines and things like that. Might be beneficial to start doing that. Writing. I have about 4, possibly 5 books in my head that I've made every excuse in the world as to why I haven't started on them. But I'm actually quite excited right now that I've kind of feel like I've got most of my world under sufficient control that I actually can discipline myself to sit down and start, because I'm actually not a very highly disciplined person in that sense. In some things I'm intensely disciplined, but I'm really excited right now to be able to say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start putting words on paper or screen, whatever the case may be.
Okay. And the idea of sitting down and doing that, are you a night, morning? When do you get your best work done?
I kind of bracket it, actually. I find if I get up in the morning and I just, grab that cup of coffee, sit down and get started, things flow. Things just really, really flow very well. I'm not very good as a midday worker at all. And then sometimes, the very, very late night, I think it's when everything else is quiet, there's no distractions, and that's kind of the bookend times. But I'd say of those, if I get up in the morning and I really want to get things done, I get up, I sit down, and it flows. Part of that ties into a little bit is this is going to come out of the blue, nothing you asked about, but most people can talk about how they dream. I very rarely, at least, remember. They say, scientists say you always dream. I think while I sleep. I mean, literally think, and I'm consciously aware that I'm unconscious and sleeping, but I'm thinking. And when I get up in the morning, a lot of times all the issues I wanted to resolve or find direction to go on, the answers are there.
And do you remember all those answers when you wake up?
That's why I need to sit down quickly, because actually they'll go away. If I get up and I sit down and I start working with that stuff right there, it'll flow and it's right there. If I wait an hour or two, I'm not going to go back to sleep tomorrow night.
Okay. So we're not talking about waking up with ideas in the middle of the night and going back to sleep. We're talking about first thing in the morning.
Yeah. I get up in the morning and boom, it's there.
No, because I'm a 3 a.m. have a great idea guy. And then, you know, and I don't know, some people wake up with ideas and some have them and keep them awake. Ooh. Let me ask you this, through law enforcement, through your speaking career, what is the most crucial personality trait or strength that you believe you have that has allowed you to become who you are today?
I mean, the first thing that pops into mind, and I don't know if it falls right into the category you're asking about personality or strength, but I think my communication skill.
Okay.
My ability to connect with the audience, whether it's one person or 1,000 persons, whether it is in a standing on a, you know, on a platform or in the front of the room, or whether it's on a camera. You know, I grew up in Hawaii where we've got a lot of Asian influence in our culture and we're taught not to be arrogant, you know, and don't, you know, so it feels awkward to be saying these positive things about myself. But I really truly believe that is kind of like my superpower, that I'm able to connect with people on an empathetic level, which goes all the way back to, you know, as a negotiator, the first and most important thing to do is form a relationship. This is whether it's a hostage situation or a business negotiation. The first and most important thing to move you in a direction of success is to form a relationship. And whether that was because I had an innate seed, which I think I did, to be able to do that, to have that empathy towards other people. And it was honed and developed as a result of my experiences, not just as a negotiator, but as a cop in general, and then as a leader. So that long answer here is to say my ability to connect effectively with other people, to communicate with them.
Beautiful. Have you, with all that connection and building upon that, do you right now, sitting here talking to me, can you say to me that you believe you are successful?
Yes.
And when do you think you realized that you were successful?
I really don't think I ever didn't think I was successful.
Beautiful.
I realized that, you know, you're not, it depends, you know, some people measure success differently. My measure of success, was I happy doing what I'm doing?
That's what I was going to ask you. So what was that moment? It was happiness.
Yeah. If I'm happy doing what I'm doing, I'm successful.
Have you ever considered quitting what you're doing?
No.
If someone offered you tomorrow $1 million to start a new business, what business would that be?
Speaking.
You'd put it right back in. That's what I was wondering. And that works for me.
Yeah.
So Jeff, let me say, as we come to a close, is there anything about you that you are just hoping I wouldn't ask?
You just asked, didn't you?
I did. This is called transparency for the Cigar Lounge.
You know, I'll be very nebulous about it. Okay. You know, I think most people, I would hope anyway, think I'm kind of a nice guy. There are times in my past, such a nice guy. And I really would not like to go revisit that conversation with anybody.
Well, I assure you, we all think you're a nice guy. And we love getting to know you. Can you just give me a brief commentary on how people can get a hold of you if they want to talk to you more about who you are and what you do? And how, what's the best way for people to find you?
All right. Well, of course, email is always very convenient. And my email is my name, Jeff, J-E-F-F, at jeffreyowens.com, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y-O-W-E-N-S.com. My direct cell phone number is 808-722-5311. I have an office number, and that goes to my virtual assistant, which is 808-674-8601.
Well, and I thank you. It has been a pleasure being with you in the Cigar Lounge. Glad you were here. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Just thank you so very much. Well, appreciate you, man.
You are very welcome. And everybody, that has been Jeff Owens in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.